Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Freedom Fiends. Go, go, Freedom Fiends. Michael, what's up?
What's up, my alpha?
What am I supposed to call you then?
What's up, my alpha? I'm your alpha, too.
Okay, alpha
it's,
two.
It's not like... No, not Alpha 1 and Alpha 2. We're both Alpha Pluses, actually. It's a reference to Brave New World.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm Alpha over you. It's like you and I are Alpha over the Betas
right.
And the Deltas and the Gammas.
And the Delta Semi-Morons.
Right.
Isn't that what they call them, the Semi-Morons?
Yeah. Did you watch that?
I didn't watch it. I read the book. It's one of my favorite books ever.
Okay. I think we're going to talk about it at length on the next cast, which is called Don't Shoot or Drink the Bleach. Did you see the Bleach Man picture?
Yeah, it was to prevent AIDS, dip your needles in bleach, and then shoot them up.
If it weren't for that, you know, you don't shoot the bleach. Those were public service announcement posters in San Francisco that were paid for by the government. Here, they have ads that say, if you take drugs, you're going to turn tricks and sell your little sister in a bathroom of a gas station.
Right.
And in San Francisco, they have Bleach Man. It's a giant superhero with a bleach bottle for a head holding a syringe that says, clean your needles with bleach before you share them with your friends. I'd be fucking dead if it weren't for that. So I think in LibPair, that would be the drug public service ads instead of the anti-meth ads. And they'd be paid for by private funds, though.
So the superhero Bleach Man literally saved your life, Michael?
I think so.
Bleach Man to the rescue.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that could exist in LibPair. That's pretty ironic statement because something that came out of San Francisco is actually something appropriate for LibPair. That's mind-boggling to me.
Well, you know, half of libertarianism is the liberal half, but it's not really that. People say it's like the best of both worlds of conservatives and liberals. It's really...
I think there's some coincidental crossover in a Venn diagram, but I think it's purely coincidental because the reasons... It comes from a different angle, you know. Liberals aren't anti-state. Conservatives aren't anti-state. They just want the state to focus on their pet projects.
Yeah. And, you know, most Democrats don't want to legalize all drugs outright and not have the government have any involvement in taxing or controlling them.
No, they don't. They say things like, legalize marijuana and then tax it and regulate it and make sure kids don't get it and use all that money to throw meth dealers in jail.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So speaking of horizontal tyrannical enforcement from birth, which is one of the plot points in Brave New World that we're going to talk about next week, is like, you know, the state raises your baby and they indoctrinate them like in the womb.
More than from birth, from conception. Mm-hmm. In Brave New World, you're put in a test tube. They drizzle alcohol into certain test tubes to make those babies dumber so that they can create an artificial stratification of society so they can have a hierarchy.
Yeah, the grunt working class is the ones that have been poisoned in the test tube. But speaking of horizontal tyrannical enforcement from birth, Kim Jong-il died. Arguably the world's worst living dictator, and North Korea is considered the worst tyrannical place to live by Amnesty International.
Yes. And I think it's also important to point out when we talk about this that I really don't think the North Korean government or the North Korean state as it exists now would exist without the intervention of the American government and American foreign policy.
Why, you think it's an outcome of the Korean War?
A, it's an outcome from the Vietnam War.
Korean War, too.
Not Vietnam. The Korean War. Our foreign policy there has been to, you know, support South Korea militarily, have troops in the demilitarized zone, and keep the two from working their own problems out. North Korea could not win in any war against South Korea. If we weren't involved there, the two would have reunited by this point and gotten along and created a new country, or the original country, not even the new country. But instead, we go in there and we're the foreign interloper, so the dictators in North Korea can say it's those evil Americans, it's those evil outsiders that are screwing us up, and then we become the scapegoat.
Yeah, and there's a lot of jockeying of what's next, and we're not even going to get into that, I don't think, because it's too early to know, and who's going to know, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with liberty right now. It's basically going to be some tyrant is going to fill the void in one way or another.
Exactly, and I think that's a good point, too. It reminds me of when people are asking Ron Paul, like, well, who would you pick for the Fed chairman? And Ron Paul's like, it doesn't really matter. There doesn't need to be a Fed. I mean, that's the point with North Korea. Who would you pick for a Korean dictator? No, there doesn't need to be a tyrannical government in North Korea. Duh.
I know. You know, and a problem there, too, is like, the people don't even have access to the outside world. So unlike Egypt, where the people go, we're longing for some kind of freedom, even if it's some other leader.
Because they can see the freedom. They have the internet. They have social networking, and they have their smartphones. So they can see other people are, you know, having a good old time, partying it up, having slightly more freedom than them, or a lot more freedom than them, but, you know, not libpair standards.
Whereas I've seen, like, you know, not just the state media in North Korea, but the documentaries have been smuggled out of there, or, footage has been smuggled out of there. It's like, woman gets cured of her cataracts by a doctor, and she doesn't thank the doctor. She's like, I can see, and she walks over to the photo of Kim Jong-il that's hanging on every wall in every room in that country and starts praising him.
It's really scary, and the comparison between that and here in America today is only a comparison of degrees. It's not a comparison of principles.
Absolutely. You know, we're constantly ragging on the anti-smoking Nazis. Something I learned today about Kim Jong-il I didn't know was that when he was forced to give up cigarettes for health reasons, he forced the entire country to do the same and banned them.
And I bet it was mandatory that you had to smoke a pack a day when he was a smoker, right?
I don't know, but he's pretty interesting. I read something called, like, 20 facts you probably didn't know about Kim Jong-il that were just batshit crazy stuff.
Right, like he had this messianic complex. He thought there was a new star and a rainbow that appeared on the day of his birth.
Yeah, I mean, Stalin, I've always been blown away by the stuff Stalin did, like having body doubles, not just for safety purposes, but because his body doubles, he'd get ones that were like better looking and younger than him. Kim Jong-il kidnapped a South Korean movie director and forced him to direct a propaganda film that made Kim Jong-il look like a star.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you remember Team America?
Yeah.
I think his portrayal in there was definitely my favorite. Just a batshit insane, vain person who wanted to make his own movies about himself and how great he was. When it comes to evil politicians, the way I like to envision them is whoever made fun of them the best. Like, whenever I think of Bill Clinton, I always think of Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of George Bush, I always think of the George Bush character from That's My Bush, the short-lived sitcom made by the South Park guys. Yeah. It was great. It was hilarious. But after 9/11, I guess the network said, we're not going to do that anymore.
You still never watched Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, have you?
No, you were telling me that that was somewhat to you like 30 Rock, right?
Well, it's only like 30 Rock in that it is behind the scenes at something like Saturday Night Live, but it's way better done. It's funnier in places, but it's deeper in most places, and it's got, like, you really care about the characters. They're not buffoons. They're not cartoonized humans. Mm. But there's a running thing in there, too, of, like, when 9/11 happened, like, the producers of the show, who were all, like, far-left California Hollywood Democrats, every director and every producer in Hollywood wanted to, like, avoid this meeting. And was insulted that, like, George Bush's people were going to tell them how to, like, spin 9/11 and the war effort after on their TV shows and in their movies. And they were all insulted. And one of them said, one of the producers said to the other guy, you know, to his friend, if our guy had won the presidency, would you be wanting to go to this meeting? And he's like, hell yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, I mean, they let Al Gore on SNL. He's, like, guest host every year when it's Green Week or whatever on NBC. And all sorts of stuff. So,
well, speaking of people like Al Gore and, you know, forced goodness, that thing about Kim Jong-il just forcing everyone to, like, give up cigarettes because he did, just, it really, That kind of says it all.
It really does. Yeah, yeah. It's not like we're forcing everybody to smoke Vaporsmiths.
Kim Jong-hee, Vaporsmiths. This is the Vaporsmith Freedom Hour. I'm enjoying a Vaporsmith right now. Vaporsmiths, electronic cigarettes.
Ah, so smooth.
Yeah, speaking of tyrannical dictatorships, Saudi Arabia. Someone in Saudi Arabia has frequently lately been downloading our podcast.
Awesome. Well, hopefully it's one of the princes and he's going to overthrow the government and instill lip air in Saudi Arabia.
It is in Riyadh.
It is in Riyadh.
And someone from Riyadh downloaded Guns and Weed movie. So
so if you get caught listening to Freedom Fiends in Saudi Arabia, do they chop your ears off or what do they do?
I don't know, man. But the same day, someone from Peoria was listening, which is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum because it's they always say, will it play in Peoria, which is basically like Hollywood or New York, you know, media say, but will this...
And fly over country, will it work?
Yeah, like, in the blandest part of America, will they like this? So, we are liked in Peoria and Riyadh. We have something for everybody, man.
I bet we have zero downloads in D.C.
Nah, we got downloads there.
But that's the Fed goons listening in on us, though.
The only place I've never seen downloads, and I've seen them in, like, almost every country. The only places I've never seen are North Korea.
Mm. I don't think they have internet yet in North Korea.
I know. Although Kim Jong-il's son might, one of his sons. You know, his one of his sons, Kim Jong-il said, wasn't fit to succeed him because he was too feminine, because he wrote a poem about why there shouldn't be any nuclear bombs in the world.
Wow.
And I read the poem, and it's like, you think, oh, it was this peaceful, loving thing, but it was more like, it was horrible. It was like, I want to take away all the guns and make everyone give up all their guns and bombs, and I want to make everyone give up drugs, and I want to get rid of the word drugs so no one ever knew they existed.
Wow. You know,
this kid's not a peaceful hippie. He's a nanny. Well, some hippies are nanny.
But. Well, hey, that's a good point. If you support the war on drugs or the war on guns, you might as well be Kim Jong-il's son.
Yeah. I heard someone recently refer to Lib Pear as Ancapistan.
Ancapistan. I love it. All right.
So the songs from Guns and Weed, we were selling them on iTunes. We're just still doing that, but we're also giving them away now. I'll have a link for that. You can download that.
Download them, jam them in your pod or your chromed out robot turd, whatever you have.
And we're also running a virtual private server now. We went out and spent a bunch of money to get a much better web server. So everything's running faster. You won't have downtime like we used to sometimes. And we could use donations. So if you'd like to donate, we have a thing now. There's a spinning, I think it's a euro, actually. It was the only spinning coin I could find. A spinning euro. We'll take euros, bitcoins. I don't think we can take bitcoins yet. We should figure out how.
Yeah.
But you can click on that donate link. There's several things you can do. One is you can make a one-time donation of an amount. And then there's another where you can set up a monthly automatic donation. You can set up different prices, $5, $10 a month, $15, $25, $30, $50, $75, and $100 are the options.
Yeah. You can also hire us out if you have any need for advertising work or voiceover work, video work, editing work. You know, we're here to help. And the fiends can get money while you get money. Let's do it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
If there's any pesky people bothering you, you want to get rid of, we'll take care of it. No, actually, you can get rid of that by our new feature, which is the between episodes audiobook of my user's manual for the human experience. So you're now getting twice the fiends. Well, it's really one and a half times because it's all me. And if you don't like it, you know, I thought about putting up a different feed for it, but then I thought, no, you know, if anybody doesn't like it on their free podcast, we'll give them their free money back.
Give them their free money back. Yeah, or just don't listen to it. Skip it if you don't want to hear the ebook. Yeah. Or if you want to hear the ebook and don't want to hear the cast, vice versa. That's the beautiful thing about the internet and podcasting is you don't have to listen to the cast. You want
to. Yes, you do.
You want
to. In my libertarian, in my Ancapistan, you'd be forced at gunpoint. No. Oh, and people should go download the Alexa toolbar and add it on, because then they'll be able to see the ratings of Freedom Fiends go up, and they will help be represented in the ratings for freedomfiends.com being counted. Alexa Toolbar is pretty cool, too. It gives you the worldwide rating of every website you're looking at while you're looking at it, and it's got a few you know, it's got a little button for Facebook. It's got a button for Gmail. It's pretty cool. I don't usually like toolbars, but I like this one because I like to see how popular websites are, including my websites, and watch them drop in number, which is good. It means they're getting more popular. So, yeah, get the Alexa toolbar if you're a Freedom Fiend and install it. It's free. But no. Another thing you can do to help us is on that donate page, there's a new Amazon link that you can bookmark. And you, whenever you shop Amazon, if you use that link, the Fiends will get a little bit of money without you having to pay anything. Amazon will pay us.
Yes. And also do shop Amazon, because if you live in most states, you also won't have to pay tax. So you'll be able to do your shopping, help the Fiends, and not help the state. So that's a multiplier effect and a double whammy.
Yeah, because remember we said, you know, there's no geographical place you can go for LibPair. It's either in your head or on the internet. So,
yeah. Yep. So take advantage of those two things while you still can.
So I think we got all of the intros out of the way. Did you see this headline? GOP worried that Ron Paul could win in Iowa.
Yeah, no, it was disgusting. It was basically saying that Ron Paul could ruin the caucus system. Like, the fact that Ron Paul would win would just completely discredit Iowa in our primary system. And basically, Ron Paul will ruin the world if you vote for him, was the angle of it.
Yeah, and it was like the Republicans are worried about their little Iowa test pond because Ron Paul, you know, someone they don't like might win. And I'm blown away by how resistant Republicans are to Ron Paul. I mean, okay, if you just look at it from like a square statist, voting is good and it represents us all and we have to do it. It's our civic duty attitude. And you're a Republican, worse yet, which isn't any worse than being a Democrat. But, you know, if you're a Republican, there really aren't any good candidates up there except Ron Paul, who's like the best candidate for president that there's ever been.
Well, it shows their hand. You're either... you don't get it yet, in which case you're scared of Ron Paul, or you get it and you support him. You know, I read something that the reason fascism worked so well in Europe in the early part of the 1900s was because there were so many uneducated people, and it was an easy thing to grasp. It was, oh yeah, the powerful people, they're the best people, and they should control things and do things the right way. And that's sort of the neocon line. It differs not at all from the fascist line or the Trotskyite line. That's basically what neoconism is. And think about how many people you've met in the Liberty Movement that are like, yeah, I used to be a neocon, and then, you know, I read some stuff. Now I'm not a neocon anymore. Now I support Ron Paul, or now I'm an anarchist. You yourself, Michael, but how many times do you see it go the other way? How many Liberty people are like, yeah, I used to be, you know, a big Ron Paul supporter, and then I read some William Buckley, and now I just want to burn all those brown people.
The only person I've ever heard say anything like that is that guy on MSNBC that we hate, Chris Matthews. No, who's the guy that was yelling about our friend open carrying in New Hampshire at the presidential
thing? Is that
thing?
The Ed guy that...
Ed Schultz? Is that him?
Maybe.
No, it's the one with hair that looks like Trump. Who is that?
Oh, yeah, that's Chris Matthews. Hardball. Okay. You're watching Hardball. Yeah.
Chris Matthews had Ron Paul on one time, and he basically said, you know, he's just really harsh and yells over everybody, and he's like...
Yep.
When I was 20 years old, I voted for Barry Goldwater, and I believed that he was the only guy that could make a difference, and Barry Goldwater wanted to strip government down to the bones, and I believed in all that, and then I grew up.
No, he didn't grow up. His bank account grew because people were paying him to tell lies.
Yeah, and he wasn't an anarchist. He wasn't a strict libertarian. Barry Goldwater was... a constitutionalist, but not even as much as Ron Paul, but probably more constitutionalist, except for Ron Paul, than anyone who's ever had a serious run at the presidency. Yeah. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. DJ's dad went door to door trying to get people to vote for Barry Goldwater and believed in him the way Ron Paul people believe in Ron Paul. And when Barry Goldwater lost, DJ's dad just gave up and realized, like, politics are ridiculous.
Yes,
you know?
They are. The other caveat I'd like to mention is, you know, Barry Goldwater is no Ron Paul, especially on foreign policy. He was neoconish on foreign policy. He wanted to, what, nuke Vietnam and let them
bomb them back to the Stone Age.
Back to the Stone Age. Right, and now that's what people use for everything. So, you know, that evil sentiment, I don't know if it originated from him, but he definitely brought it to the fore.
I mean, not to stick up for him, but it's kind of taken out of context. It wasn't the way Michelle Bachmann would say that now about the entire Middle East except for Israel. You know, she really hates those people and wants to kill all of them. He basically wanted the war to be done. He was basically like, let's not spend 10 more years there f***ing around.
Yeah, but you know? Obviously the proper conclusion then is just get the f*** out of there. I mean, when you're raping somebody and you realize you're doing wrong, you're not like, well, I gotta c*** real quick and then I'll be good. No, it's get the f*** out of there. Apologize if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many beeps are going to be in that sentence, but yeah, and you know, that was the year I was born. It was 64 was mm-hmm. when he ran, so this is all before my time. But I've seen on YouTube the commercial that made Johnson win over – have you ever seen that? And it ran like one time. It wasn't on the Super Bowl either, but it was on something – I think maybe it was. It was it was one commercial that ran one time and just kicked the other opponent out of the running. It was basically a little girl picking flowers and going like, la, 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 picking daisies, like, you know, 6-year-old girl. Uh-huh. And then, like, she looks up and then you see her face in horror and there's, like, a mushroom cloud reflected in her eye and then it goes to black. Ugh. I think it was a big influence on that scene in Terminator 2 where, you know, Sarah Connor's watching the playground and the alternate reality. And
that gave me nightmares for so long. I saw that movie when I was like 7. And
well, I've never heard the connection, but I think that was very strongly based on Lyndon Johnson's anti-Goldwater commercial. And, you know, the effect it had on you, that's the effect it had on the voters.
And now, some corporate whoring for one of our favorite products.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Howdy, I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmith's. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmith's. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kiddies.
Vaporsmith's e-cigs revolutionize nicotine ingestion by bringing it into the 21st century. With Vaporsmith's, you'll enjoy all the invigorating nicotine with none of the nasty smoke. Vaporsmith's are clean, efficient, and tasty. Available in 3 strengths and 8 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com for a free starter kit, a $39.95 value. With the purchase of 40 cartomizers or more by using coupon code FREEDOMFIEND. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Vaporsmiths. I'm enjoying one right now. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Well, see, even though things were nowhere near LibPair back then, and they were still statist as hell, think about the change between then and nowadays. Nowadays, Republican politicians, hell, Democratic politicians, they can hint at nuking Iran or nuking countries, and nobody takes them to task for it. Nobody would win over one of them for playing a commercial like that nowadays.
Yeah. I know, they'd lose. They'd be like, oh.
You don't want to nuke somebody? You don't want to vaporize innocent people? What's wrong with you?
I know. That's what politicians always want to do, is get the guns on their side. And what bigger gun is there than a nuke, you know?
Yep, yep.
I mean, even bombs, even missiles, even drones. I'm starting to believe that it's like gun ownership. They're just not going to bother with it anymore, because it's like they don't care how many rifles you have when they can send a Hellfire missile down your chimney.
No, and drones are scary as fuck. I mean, I've always kind of been scared of drones, but now that they're being used here in America, it brings it home all the more that you have no way of seeing it coming. No way. And they can see you completely. They know where you at all times. They can hear your voice. They can know if you're about to go take a shit and you're like, hey, wife, I'm going to go take a shit. And they know where to bomb you in your house.
They could enter the Freedom Fiends episode into their drone computer and just look for us.
Yeah, they could. And Will Grigg wrote a great article about, I don't know if this is the first time a Predator B drone has been used in American law enforcement, but I think it might be, at least one of the first times we know about it.
It was used to find some stolen cows.
Stolen cows in North Dakota. I guess a half a dozen cattle strayed into this farmer's land, and they weren't marked, so he was like, well, you know, they're unclaimed, so they belong to me. They wandered into my field. And the sheriff over there, Kelly Janky, not to be confused with Jankum, was upset about this and decided, nope, those aren't your cows. It didn't necessarily start as a standoff, but they decided they needed to use a drone to track this family and to track this farmer, so they used a Predator drone to keep track of them.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that they're going to start testing them more and more. You know, not for bombing at first, but for surveillance, probably over the square states that don't have that many people, like South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, just because there's less air traffic, there's less people who might spot one. I don't know how high they fly or if you could spot one with a pair of binoculars, but
there's also a great SPLC connection here in the article. Yeah. They are promoting use of drones in a certain way because I guess this guy was in some way involved with the Sovereign Citizen Movement or suspected of it. And of course, officer safety is this big sacred cow.
Moo.
Moo. and they had put out a report about this. And Will Grigg had a great line about the SPLC that to the SPLC, everybody to the right of Hugo Chavez is a threat.
Yeah. You know, speaking of drones, do you want to go ahead? We have a new custom 404 page. Do you want to read it? You know, 404 page is when you're looking for something on a website and there's a broken link, or you type something in wrong and it usually says, like, you've performed an illegal operation or page not found or whatever. But
ours says
a picture of a drone and a picture of a pigeon with a little harness on the back and somebody slipping a little Freedom Fiends SD card into the little harness, and then a picture of the 1934 shortwave radio user's guide.
Yes. We're trying to drone-proof the cast. I don't think we can drone-proof ourselves, but at least we can drone-proof our words. Our 404 page says, the page you are looking for is either non-existent or has been removed by a hacker from some governmental entity. Please take this opportunity to download and archive every Freedom Fiends episode. While doing so is still legal. This archive will be useful after we are droned, our site is removed, and you can only share the episodes on BitTorrent, shortwave radio, and clandestine thumb drives passed from family to family via carrier pigeon. Good stuff, Michael.
Yeah, I had fun writing that.
Yeah. We also have a drone t-shirt, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have a t-shirt that says, swag. I got droned for listening to the Freedom Fiends, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt, which I came up with one of our fans named Chesty Puller.
Is that great name? Is that a real name?
No, I don't know.
It's good enough. It might as well be.
You think Mr. and Mrs. Puller had a baby and said, let's call him Chesty?
I sure hope so.
It is a guy. I've seen a picture of him.
Okay.
Chesty Puller.
Okay.
I think it sounds like a pirate name somehow.
Yeah, kind of does. Because chest, you know, like pirate a chest of booty.
And we also have a new bumper sticker for sale. It says walk softly and carry a gun. And that stuff's all listed on t-shirts. That's what the link says. It's on the top right of the Freedom Fiends podcast.
I walk softly and carry a gun every day, Michael.
I know. Yeah. We're peace-loving guys, man.
Exactly. We really are. Now, speaking of drones, because while we're on this, there was another article that really upset me. Now, the mainstream media, Reuters at least, is asking us to feel sorry for the drone pilots as opposed to feeling sorry for the innocent people who are burnt up by Hellfire missiles. There's really interesting quotes in here, really upsetting quotes from a colonel who was interviewed for the story. Colonel Kent McDonald. He says, first of all, we try to select people who are well-adjusted. We select family people, people of good moral standing, background, and integrity. Right. Yeah, it's a family value to bomb people from the comfort of an office while you're eating Cheetos. And then, this is the really creepy part that creeped me out. He says, when they have to kill someone, and when they're involved with missions, when they're observing people over long periods of time, and then they either kill them or see them killed, it does cause them to rethink aspects of their life, and it can be bothersome. Bothersome. It's a bother. Oh, yeah. Oh, bother. I have to blow you up. Oh, bother.
Well, basically, what the generals are saying, or the colonels are saying, is we need to find a way to deal with this small problem of the people that are doing the killing for us feeling remorse.
Yeah, pretty much. Because it can be slightly bothersome to them.
And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, I think of drones as a really impersonal, remote way to kill somebody. But it sounds like, in some way, since they can see them and actually, like, spy on them for a while, it may have more of effect emotionally on the people pushing the button than a soldier shooting at some guy that randomly jumps up in a field 300 yards
away. That's a good point because, you know, like the quote says, they're following these people. I mean, that's part of what the drone thing, 90% of the drone work, or maybe 99%, is reconnaissance and watching these people as they go about their daily business. And you can tell they're just normal human beings doing things that normal people do, you know, going to work or going to the cave for the day, for their day in the office in the cave or whatever. And then you got to blow them up. So I can see how that could take a bigger toll on you as opposed to you just being in a bunker somewhere or having somebody else shoot at you. Because if they're shooting at you, your initial instinct, and it's only human, it's very human to shoot back at somebody shooting at you. But it's much less human to use a remote control to blow somebody up who you're just watching on a video screen.
You know, when you said the thing about going to their work in their cave, I had flashbacks of Arrested Development where George Bluth, the senior Bluth, is up in the attic making his terrorist video to give to Michael to play at the office. I mean, it's just kind of organic. Like, the only clothes he has up there are Buster's old army clothes, so he's wearing camo, and then he just washed his hair in the sink or something, so he's got a towel wrapped around his head.
It wasn't the sink, it was the hot tub that he ordered and had
and
put in the
attic. He's
got the
microphone in his hand, and he's saying, "These are my demands."
Good stuff.
I hate drones. Let's move on. Unless you get more drones. I'm just...
Drones are creepy, and I think we've done our drone duty for the day.
Well, did you get a chance to see... Yeah, we have. Did you get a chance to see that link of the 8 kill bots that the government is developing other than drones?
No, I really wanted to. I didn't have time to check that out. Why don't you go ahead and explain some of the other creepier kill bots?
This is one called Big Dog. It basically... It runs like a dog, and it looks like a big dog, and it's intended, or it kind of is like the size and shape of a goat without a head, but it's a robot, and it can run on, like, ice, it can run up a 35-degree hill, it can run on snow, it can run, and basically, the idea of it is, so far, is a transport for soldiers, like, a soldier that's having to march really, really far, it could carry his 80 pounds of gear for him and run next to him.
Huh.
And there's demonstrations of it on this video. They're all made by this one company that's a spinoff of MIT. Another reason I hate public education is it always ends up in bed with the military-industrial complex. But they had some other ones like, you know, a hummingbird drone that could spy on people with a camera and, you know, thing that can crawl up a wall. But the ones that really creeped me out was Big Dog, because it seemed really alive, and it kind of made me sad, too. It seemed like a dog grown in a lab with no head or something, but it was a robot.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, like, in LibPair, this kind of technology wouldn't be used for evil. It'd be used for good. Like, I could use something like that, you know?
Why
can't I just go down to Walmart and pick one up? And I was actually and they make this horrible noise, though. They're actually powered by gasoline engines. or diesel or something, because they could go longer than with a battery. They have a battery for the electronics, but the mechanics of it are power. So they're like, you know, I was thinking like, okay, if they had it at Walmart, I wouldn't even have to go to Walmart to get one. I'd go online, order one from walmart.com, type in my address, and an hour later it would walk down here and show up and knock on my door.
Right. No, it'd come running up to you and lick you with its metal tongue.
Yeah. I want it. And then they had an example of it weaponized. They basically just put bull horns on it and were ramming things with it. But, you know, it could be weaponized with guns or lasers or drones or anything. But
it's a really good point, the opportunity cost here. I mean, all this wasted talent and human progress being used for something like a robot. Like this.
To kill things.
When to it kill
could be used,
things.
You know, when it could be used like for mining and search and rescue and all sorts of valuable things. Companions, you know, if you had like a retarded child or even just like a thin child that people picked on, you could have this big dog run with him and like beat up the bullies for him or something.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Not evil stuff.
If you had a, you know, I don't know if retarded, what's the word now for retarded?
Government.
Mental challenged. If you had someone that like wasn't smart enough to responsibly handle a weapon, but they needed protecting and you couldn't always be with them, you could have your big dog robot go and protect them.
Right, or your fleet of hummingbird drones that circle your head. Hummingbird
drones. I know. Yeah.
Freedom Fiends. Anti-war. Pro-gun. New show on the Micro Effect Radio Network, Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi's fun and feisty weekly chat about constitutional, libertarian, minarchist, and anarchist issues, abuse of authority by police, the war on drugs, the war on guns, self-defense, states' rights, natural rights, Austrian economics, DIY art, low-budget filmmaking, digital recording, activism, rock and roll, and more. Freedom Fiends. Saturdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more about The Micro Effect at themicroeffect.com.
You know, every time I finish podcasting, the next day I suffer from postpartum depression. I do. I get because
postpartum depression. That's great.
I'm so manic while I'm giving birth to our podcast, and then like, and then a few days after that, I'm really manic, like wee, and it's postpartum mania.
Yeah. No, you're it definitely affects your mood. We normally record, or we're supposed to record on Wednesday, but every Tuesday morning, Michael calls me. He's like, "You want to cast? You want to cast?" I'm like, "Wow, you really want to get it done today?" And he's like, "No, I just always want a podcast."
I know.
It's like, okay.
It's it's I think nine months ago or whenever in April when we started, 6 months ago, seven, eight. Actually, April Fool's Day was the first day it went live.
Okay. It was actually like a week after I first tried to quit. The first of my three attempts to quit my mainstream media job.
I know.
And Michael was like, well, you know, we could do something to at least make you feel better and make you feel like you're not completely putting everything out there for the benefit of the status quo. And so we decided on a podcast, and it kept me just as sane as it keeps Michael manic.
Yeah. And I was kind of worried that once you quit your job, you wouldn't need to do it anymore, but I'm glad you do.
No, I need to do it, and I need to do it more. Now that I quit my job, I still have a need to put out, you know, media. That didn't go away, and that wasn't why I quit working for a TV station. I quit working for a TV station because I couldn't put out the media I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yep. It was funny. I was at a party the other day, and the girl was like, oh, yeah, I saw you on TV one time. You jumped out of something. Because in my stand-ups, that sort of became my shtick, as I would appear on the screen in interesting ways. And I was like, yeah, I just got so bored with the subject material, I just decided to pop out of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad we're doing it. It's a good thing. You know, there's something we were talking about last week that I forgot that I didn't think about at the time, but we were talking about holsters as fashion.
Yeah.
That existed in the cowboy days.
No, it did. And I thought of that, too. And that's what I was thinking when I was thinking on it. I was actually walking home, and it was really cold. And what gave me the idea was, you know, I got to keep my gun concealed under all these layers of coats and whatnot. You know, I should be able to just have it blinging out in front on top of my coats. And I was like, well, when I mention this, everybody will be like, oh, well, you know, what about all those nice gun leathers and with the intricate designs burned into leather and things like that? And
yeah,
those are pimp. But I'm thinking, you know, that was the old days. We need that new. We need a new way of bringing that forward to the forefront.
Gucci Glock holsters.
Gucci Glock. Yeah. I'm surprised rappers haven't done it yet. You know?
Well, I've definitely seen bling that's in the shape of a gun, but I haven't seen a gun that's blinged.
You have seen all those Mexican cartel AKs that are all diamonded out with the gold?
Yeah. You got to have cartel money to do those, though, or dictator money. I mean, those are literally gold-plated and covered with diamonds. I mean, that would add $200,000 to the price of your $80 AK or whatever they cost in Mexico.
You think the leader of the cartel has diamond-tipped bullets plated in gold instead of lead?
I don't think the leader of the cartel touches a gun. I don't think he has to. He's surrounded by an army. Why would he want to get oil on his hands? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He's good a point. King.
Yep. He's a president.
But, there's probably some that are hands-on and do their own executions when they're really pissed at somebody. You know, they borrow a sidearm from one of their private army guys, shoot it, and hand it back to him.
Right.
You know, the army guy probably has to cock it for him. He doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah. I'd like to see a rapper open carry. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I'd like to see somebody open carry something just blinged out.
I'm really surprised I haven't seen, just a promo shot of a rapper open carrying, because they don't all live in L.A. or New York. You know, there's rappers from Ohio and Atlanta, and there's got to be one of them who's not a convicted felon and lives in a state where you could open carry, where he could at least in his video in the backyard or something be open carrying, not waving it around, just having it on his hip.
No, that's a good point. It also really is. It's always really pissed me off that rappers get gun and drug charges. Whenever you hear about a rapper being arrested, that's usually why. They got caught with a gun and some marijuana. And it's like, those aren't bad things.
Well, they should just all move to Denver or Billings, somewhere they can have guns and weed.
Right. Yeah, although, it just really pissed me off because, say, you're Lil Wayne. You're, almost a billionaire, or you're Jay-Z, and you literally are pretty much a billionaire if you include all your wife's money. Why didn't Lil Wayne fight it when he got caught up on gun charges? How come T.I., when T.I. gets out of jail, he makes a song about how carrying guns is bad?
If I were a billionaire, I would own a ranch in Wyoming that's surrounded by a fence and has guards, and I would let the world come to me. I'd be like, I would not leave the fucking ranch. I'd have people go get stuff for me. The ranch would be big enough. I'd never feel like I'm missing out on anything. I'd fly my friends in to hang out, and I'd go on tour by, pay-per-view.
Right. But you're a much more insular person. I'd like to get out and see the world, and, I'd have my bodyguards and my bulletproof glass on my car.
I don't think I've left my property in a week, come to think of it. Oh, no, I went for a drive with DJ on Saturday, but...
Okay.
So speaking of Wyoming, I saw this thing in the paper, this ongoing conversation we're having about guns being banned for open carry in city council meetings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from Kanye Schlager, the vice mayor of Casper.
I think it's pronounced Kanine.
Is that a woman?
Yeah, it's a woman.
I thought it was Kanye.
She's not Kanye. No, don't drag Kanye, the real Kanye's name, in the mud like that.
I have so many issues with this statement. She said, when people say, well, you should have your own gun at a meeting with you yourself, that doesn't work. What would the little 90-year-old lady think while she's trying to talk to us about a lien we're putting on her house because she's a hoarder?
Oh, my God. The nerve of that bitch. I can't even believe that.
Tell our listeners what's wrong with that statement. The biggest thing that's wrong with that statement.
The biggest thing is she's upset that there could be somebody who would stand in the face of their almighty power. We need to force this 90-year-old lady. That's the problem, is we'll be less inclined to use our government guns against this 90-year-old lady because we want to do something for her own good. She's a hoarder.
Because we want to take her property because she likes to keep stuff.
And I'm thinking, like, we want to take her property because she likes to keep her property. How insane is that?
When I think of hoarder, I think of inside your house. And it's like, really? The vice mayor of this town thinks they have a right, when people can't even see inside your house, to like take your house because of that?
Oh, she totally does. Because it's for your own good. Because she thinks she's doing good for society by forcing people to follow her rules and the city's rules. She's just doing her job, Michael.
So she's basically saying, I don't want to frighten that old lady by having a gun. But what I think she's really saying is, I don't want that little old lady to have a gun.
Totally think that's what she's saying.
Yeah. She's saying, we want to be able to put our government guns to her head and take her home that she's worked her whole life to have a nice retirement in. We want to be able to take that if she likes to keep QP dolls and old newspapers.
it's like Max says in our movie. They want all the guns. They don't want you to have the guns.
You know, if she has too many cats, we only think you should be able to have 6 cats. And if she has 7 cats because she likes to take in strays, we're going to take her house.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that really strikes me about it is just the way she portrays it as this little 90-year-old lady coming up to them with her hat in hand, her bonnet in hand, pleading with the council to please not take your stuff. Please don't put a lien on my property. That's how she's portraying this. She's showing herself as the big almighty up on the dais who gets to decide what these people do. And if these people, these poor little peons, don't have guns, it makes her job that much easier.
I wonder if Kanye Schlager thinks that vice mayors should have drones. I'll bet maybe.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Because then they could deal with the little old lady without having to send sheriffs over there and risk their lives that this little old lady might have some way to defend herself.
Yeah, yeah.
So they could just bomb her back to the Stone Age. And
right.
Bulldoze right. her property and start over and then make a city park out of it. Think of the children.
Right. Of course, they'd couch it in all their bureaucratic terms. We automatically disposed of all her property.
Yes.
As according to city code 9326 or something.
You know, speaking of thinking of the children, another thing we said last week that I have an addendum to, and this will lead into the name of the cast, which is...
The children are our future, and they hate the government.
Yep. And which picture do you want to use for that? I sent you some. Did you like the government popping the kid's balloon or the child's drawing with the anarchy symbol on it?
I like either the one where it's save the world and there's like an earth and a tree and then an anarchy symbol in little kid drawing.
I found a little kid drawing and added the anarchy symbol.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yep. Okay. It's so less cool now.
You like
okay.
that? It's less cool.
I like that.
Oh, because you thought a kid made it.
Yeah, yeah. I also like the little baby giving the bird.
Really? Yeah. What did you think of the one where the government hand is popping the kid's balloon?
I liked it. In fact, it kind of rung true for me because the other day I met this dude. He was showing me this cool laser he had because I was smoking my e-cigarette and it's got the blue light. And he goes, my blue is cooler than your blue. And I was like, what are you talking about? He pulls out this like high-powered astronomy laser, like this $200 astronomy laser that you can use to help find stars and stuff. And I guess he used to be in the military or something. He was saying all the fun things he likes to do with it. And one of those included standing a few hundred yards away from children's birthday parties and pointing the laser at balloons so the balloons pop.
Wow. Did you say, my blue's better than yours, and pull out your gun and stick it to his head?
No, I didn't do that.
Well, good, because that'd be immoral.
Yeah, it would be.
So last week we said something about like poor people sing, but how would I pay for my education? I don't pay for my education now if there weren't public schools. But the thing is, and we didn't say this, they do pay for their education now. They pay for it in sales tax. They pay for it in higher rent because their landlord has to pay higher property taxes. They pay for it in gasoline prices being higher. All the little taxes that are added on, and that adds up to everything they buy being more expensive.
Exactly. Yeah, they do pay for it. There's no way to get around it. And property taxes, if you're a homeowner and you don't have kids and you got to pay $6,000 in property taxes.
Yep, like me.
What the f*** for? It's ridiculous. Mike Rozif from LouRockwell.com had an article recently where in Buffalo, New York, the stats are for each kid for 1 year of schooling, $24,000. That's a young person's salary. If you're a manager at...
Wait, what is that amount of money from?
That's how much it costs to educate a kid in a public school in Buffalo, New York. Each kid.
You know, for $24,000, you could get a grad student to tutor your kid 4 hours a day, and it'd be a way better education.
Exactly. No, that's the exact point Rozif brings up.
For less than that, I mean, for $24,000, you could probably hire an Indian immigrant with a green card who has a PhD in mathematics to live in your home and tutor your kid full time and everything.
Well, Rozif brings up the point that if you have two kids, that's $50,000 because most people have more than one kid. Think about the type of education you could get hiring a private tutor for $50,000 a year. That's more than a normal teacher's salary.
Yeah, and if you got rid of all the public schools, the good teachers would be able to do that. And it wouldn't just be private teaching. They'd have little classes. You know, you'd get five families together in the neighborhood and you'd hire one teacher and you'd convert someone's garage into a teaching space. I've been to a lot of people's houses who homeschool. They convert an area of their house to a teaching space. I don't know if that's just what they do or if that's a state requirement, because I know the people who homeschool, generally the state can come in and look at their area. But,
right. Yeah.
You know, you can convert part of your house to an office. You can certainly convert another part of your house to a little classroom.
Yeah, you certainly can. And it's also a good point that it should not at all cost that much. All this money, it's not going to give your kids a better education. It's gotten more expensive, the per student output, and yet education has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. The kids aren't smarter. The test scores are worse. The kids know less than they did in the 1800s. Somebody had put up a thing on the internet. It was like an exit exam from eighth grade, and most college students would have trouble passing that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Well, I think another good point to bring up is most of that money doesn't go towards the actual educating of your kid. Most of it goes to the building cost of these giant schools that they have to build every 10 years. And yeah, people vote for it and they usually go out for a bond. But how fair is that, that 51% of the people or 60% decide, hey, we need to tax you more so we can build this $30 or $40 million building, even though we built a $30, $40 million building 10, 20 years ago. We need one again because we need to have the best thing for our kids.
They really have to replace them completely?
Often they do. In fact, recently here in Washington, we had a whole spat over the past couple years of schools wanting to build new schools. They say, oh, our buildings are falling apart and it's for safety, it's for the kids. And, you know, then the news media goes out and they do these stories showing, you know, the roofs are caving in or whatever. You know, there's just a few cracks in the roof or there's a leak or something. And rather than doing things efficiently like you would in a free market or a private situation where you would find the best, most efficient way to do it, instead, you put all that energy in getting the public to vote more money for you so you can steal more money. Another excellent point to bring up is if most of those costs are for things like brick and mortar buildings and teacher salaries, all that can be eliminated with the internet. I mean, with Khan Academy, with learning things from YouTube videos online that are structured and set up in a way that teach kids better than teachers, because the kids can go back and replay the part that they missed. They can do it at their own pace. They don't have to be locked away in a building that resembles a prison for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
One of the things we're going to talk about, this book called Possum Living, which your wife has, is written by a woman, a friend of mine's sister. She came and spoke at our school, my private school, when I was 15. She was like 18. She wrote this book when she was like 17. It's basically on how to live off the grid, which she and her father had been doing for 4 years. She was a genius, and she was doing so poorly in school. It was just ruining her having to try to like dumb down to be in the classes with the dumber kids.
Right.
That her dad just took her out of school. I don't think someone could get away with this now. If that's even the term, get away with it. But he said, you know, do you want to get out of school and just go to the library? And she's like, yes, please. And he went to the school with her one day and said, we're moving to California, and went around and hugged all the teachers. And she said goodbye to all her friends, and then just stayed home in the same town.
Yeah.
and got away with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's another good point. I mean,
she ended up going to college and being an engineer at NASA, too, so she was no dummy.
Right, exactly. And the school didn't contribute any of that to her. The public school didn't do that. She did that on her own.
Yeah, she might not have been able to do that if she'd stayed in school. She learned a lot more on her own.
Right, and this reminds me of a story out of my family that came about recently. My mom noticed one day, my little brother, the youngest one, Knight, he's in fifth grade. He tried to be sneaky and handed my mom this paper and said, oh, you just need to sign this so that everything's okay. My teacher wanted you to sign this. And he didn't show it. He had like the front part covered up. And, you know, my mom's no dummy, so she looked at it. It was his progress report. It wasn't just bad grades. Everything was zero. Him and a group of friends decided to sort of mutiny.
Wow.
And they decided, well, school's bunk. We don't really learn anything. Let's just stop doing it. We'll just go to school and not do anything. So him and a group of his friends decided to mutiny. Probably not the best idea, but only because that's the only option. Because they're forced to go to that school. That's the only option. My mom doesn't have, because like you said earlier, she's taxed with all of those sales tax, the property tax. She has that much less money of her own to put into homeschooling him. She used to actually homeschool him and everything was fine. He loved it. He would go ahead in the lessons. He would be done with the curriculum, you know, months ahead of time. And he loved it and he retained it better. But when you have a system where the government forces you to do it a certain way and takes money from it, so it's in your economic interest, – because they distort the market, it's in your economic interest to just send your kid to the public school, you get a system like this where it's worse for the kids, it's worse for the citizens' pocketbooks, and it's just worse for society as a whole because of it.
So children are the future, and they hate the government.
They hate the government, so much so that they're starting to – yeah, they do.
I think good things are going to happen of him. I think he's – I mean, I think you and Frank and him are all gifted and smart and have a good head on your shoulders. I think he's going to amaze us just from that conversation I had with him.
Who, Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank, too. Frank gets it. He is in community college right now, and he has this government class, which, you know, a normal – how you would expect a community college government teacher to act like and have his politics be. And so Frank was required to write a paper on any topic regarding government. So he wrote this paper. And you know, I was just going to read a few quotes from the cast, but I read it, and I liked it so much. And it's really short. I don't mind – is it okay if I read the whole thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's titled Why Big Government is Bad. And I kind of hassled him about the title a little bit. I said, you should just say why government is bad instead of why big government is bad. But he said, I don't know. But anyway, this is the paper. Government is like a cancer. It keeps growing and growing until it kills that from which it takes life. That is, unless you do everything in your power to fight off that cancer and put it into remission. America was very healthy when first born. We had a currency backed by gold, a precious metal that will always be worth something, the Bill of Rights, which protected our life, liberty, and property from the government. In America today, though, I fear for my life, liberty, and property. Let's start with property. Now, property is anything belonging to someone or a group of people. Take, for example, a piece of land or a house, car, even income that you have earned as property. Yet we have such things as the income tax, which takes money directly from your paychecks and uses it for things such as war, their own income, police, and other bureaucracies to enforce immoral laws. Even on a local level, you can't escape this. A couple weeks ago, the city of League City showed up to my house and placed stickers on two of my family's cars, citing them as quote-unquote junk vehicles under League City Ordinance Section 86-I22. Their definition of a junk vehicle? A vehicle that is self-propelled and inoperable and does not have a lawfully attached, unexpired license plate or valid motor vehicle inspection certificate, is wrecked, dismantled, or partially dismantled, or discarded, or has remained inoperable for more than 30 consecutive days. In the case that you cannot fix the quote-unquote junk vehicle, it can be towed at your expense, or ownership of the vehicle can be forfeited. What gives any form of government the right to take away your property just because it doesn't fit their standards? Do I not own my property? Can I not leave it in any state or fashion I want it to be? What if my grass gets too high? Can they find me? Wait, they can find me, and will. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Most people go along with it, though, because they are just trying to live life and don't want to be bothered, as contradictory as that sounds. This brings us to life. Everybody generally wants the same things out of life: to be free, and free to take care of their family while living comfortably and in control of their own life. Many people's dreams are to start and run their own business, but in today's society, there are too many government regulations. Say I wanted to start a business. Well, first I would have to get a permit from the city to build on the location and pass whatever building requirements they have. Second, I would have to pay a startup fee just for opening the business up, and if I got that business started, I would have to pass all sorts of health inspection codes. In a free market with no government intervention, wouldn't a business owner have the incentive to run their business in a clean environment? Because if he didn't, then the customer would leave and do business with somebody else. That's the invisible hand at work. We don't need Big Brother to intervene in our everyday lives and tell us how to live, but they do. Government makes it to where you have to go through them to get anything done. A license to sell alcohol, a license to sell tobacco, a license to carry a firearm, a license to drive. I thought this was the land of the free. More like land of the free if you have a license for it. Everything they do is by force or theft. I never agreed to all these laws, let alone an income tax or any tax for that matter, but if I refuse, then I can be sent to jail to live in a cage because I didn't give up my hard-earned money. It is theft no matter what they use your tax money for. Stealing is wrong no matter what, be it for welfare, Social Security, or war. Which brings us to liberty. You either have it or you don't. Freedom is one piece, and to keep that piece together, you need to get rid of the cancer that is government. The more and more it grows, the less free we are. Frank Vidotti.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? I was very proud of him.
The Children are our future, and they hate the government.
They sure do. And Frank and his friends, they have a saying, you know, it's one of those text age things where everything's about acronyms now. One of their favorites is FTG, which is obviously F*** the government. In fact, there's a whole Facebook page called F*** the government.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.
So I had a, the children are our future and they hate authority, at least, experience recently. It was kind of like a, I called it a semi-spiritual event that happened over the internet. And it's hard for me to say something's a spiritual event because I am now a deist, which is when people listen to the Between the Episode audiobooks of my User's Manual for the Human Experience. It was made in 2009, written and recorded in 2009, and I have changed since then. I was basically a small government libertarian party type guy then. I wasn't in the Libertarian Party, but I was a more statist than a minarchist even, and definitely.
Right, you're almost a beltway libertarian.
I was, yeah. Yeah, you know, the work through the system, we can make this good kind of thing.
Right,
And I talked a good bit in it about, like, letting the universe guide your hand. You know, basically kind of the universe substituting for the word God. And I don't know if I believe anymore that things happen other than for any reason than physics and chaos. But this thing happened to me the other night. There was such a bizarre coincidence that, you know, like you say, if I believed it was important, it was important because I believed it. So I'll say that.
Right. Good.
It was about 5:30 in the morning, my time. It was 7:30 East Coast time, which is important in this story. I was listening to a rebroadcast on LRN.FM, which you should check out because we're on it, and so are a lot of great podcasts and radio shows.
Oh, yeah.
But I was listening to a rebroadcast of that day's Free Talk Live, and it was the day that the Senate signed the We Can Drone Anybody We Want law. You know,
the indefinite detention. And, yeah.
You know, Obama hasn't signed it yet, but he will, and then it'll go into law, and then the droning can begin.
Oh, yeah.
Ian was talking about it, and he was being really kind of dark about it. Part of it was dark humor, but part of it was, it sounded really fucking dark. He was like, and you know, now they can just, for doing something like we're doing, I mean, if you just criticize the government now or criticize the president, they can send the military over to your house and grab you and throw you in a storage container naked. And not only can't you talk to your family or see a lawyer, you won't even have a name. You'll just be, it'll just be a number on a storage container. And I was like, ugh, you know, yeah. And I was, it crossed my mind to just, like, delete the podcast.
Our podcast? Yeah.
Which, you know, I wouldn't do without talking to you, and I wouldn't do anyway, and I wouldn't do. It just crossed my mind of, like, do I have the courage to carry on? And I was looking for a sign. I was like, I need some kind of confirmation of I need to keep doing this. And it wasn't like I would delete it. You know, it's both our properties. I couldn't do that without talking to you. If I were going to ever do anything like that, I would probably just transfer the domain registration over to you and let you take it over.
I'd have to find a new co-host. What the hell would I do?
I know.
I don't want to be one of those radio shows where I just rant for
You'd
an
have
hour.
To actually interview people, which you want to do and I don't want to do, so it'd be fine. You know, you just get one of those free web-based call-in numbers and carry on, I hope.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But yeah, I'd rather do it this way. I like the cast the way it is.
Which I hope you'd do if I ever died or was indefinitely detained. I'd hope you'd carried on, and I would do the same for you if something happened to you. So,
Well, if they droned you, they'd drone me, too.
Or if one of us got detained for any reason, you know, if you did, I'd podcast 3 or 8 times a week and just talk about you and read, like, you know, I'd call you on the phone and record what you say and broadcast it, or have you send me letters and read them, or so, or just...
You could interview me from jail.
Yeah, yep. Like that. You ever heard that Bad Braid song, Sacred Love? It's recorded, the singing's recorded from jail. It's pretty awesome. He's in jail for pot. They're, you know, Rasta reggae, hardcore punk rock band, all black band from D.C. that... One of the most amazing bands ever, but there's a song where he's singing it from jail. Like, they were in the studio recording it the day before. He got busted for pot. He's in jail, and he literally phoned it in, and it sounds great. It's
That's
cool.
Awesome. There's a song on a mixtape that 50 Cent did with that rap group. I forget their name now. But Lloyd Banks, I think it was, called in from jail and did his verse from jail.
Cool.
Or maybe it was one of the other ones. But yeah, I've seen that before, heard that before. It's good stuff.
So I was listening to Free Talk Live talking about how we're all going to get rounded up and thrown naked into, I don't know if he said naked, but I pictured that, like freezing in a storage container, you know,
with
a number on it in, like, you know, rural Montana or something where no one I love can find me or knows where I am. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, not God, give me a sign, but like universe, give me a sign. And literally, I was poking around on the computer while I was listening to this, and I was looking at our Google Analytics, which literally gives us, like, I see a map of the world, and I see dots where people are listening to us, and what kind of device they're using, whether it's a, you know, cell phone or whatever, or computer, and if they found us through Google, what search term they used. It was about 5:30 in the morning. There were, like, you know, three or four people on, and then a new one popped up, and the search term was Church Farm School Sucks. And that's the school I went to, and I had a lot of authority problems there and got kicked out because of them. And
right.
And I was like, interesting, you know, because we've talked about them before. So we don't have that phrase anywhere on the podcast, but we have Church Farm School in one of the show notes. And another one of the tags that comes up on the side of every page is School Sucks. So it found our podcast from someone entering awesome. Church Farm School Sucks. And then I hovered the little mouse over it, and it was Paoli, Pennsylvania, which is where the Church Farm School is.
Right.
And before you say, well, that could be anybody in, you know, that's not necessarily a boy in Church Farm School. It could be anybody in Paoli, Pennsylvania. Let me tell you this. Paoli, Pennsylvania is the Church Farm School and like six Amish farms. So that was a kid from Church Farm School. And I was thinking like, okay, it's 7:30 a.m. their time there. It's Friday. He's in church.
With his iPhone. Out, it was looking up
I looked
feeds.
Up iPhone, and I'm like, and you can see what page they're on. And he was on the main page, or on the page with the Church Farm School, where I talked about it. Mm-hmm. And then he went to another page, and it was the streaming audio page. And then he went off. Either he got caught, or like bookmarked it, or something, or like, you know, he's listening to it streaming. I wouldn't know because it's on a different server. But
right.
You know, that was the answer. That was the sign from the universe of keep doing this. It was like, it was basically like me at 15 having the same problems I had. And it was kind of like in my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, the last chapter of it is called Letter to a Young Me. And it was me a few years ago at age 45 writing a letter to myself at age 19, basically telling him everything I know now and to not worry. Because when I was younger, I used to worry a lot of like, what'll be, I mean, I thought, you know, I knew I was smart as hell, but I didn't want to fit in with society. And I thought I was going to end up like in a ditch pushing berries up my nose or something. But so anyway, it was like, I was kind of like searching after listening to that drone cast of Free Talk Live. I was like searching the universe for like, I need the voice from me as an old man telling me now it's going to be okay. And it came in the form of someone else as a young man saying, Church Farm School Sucks, which is an experience I've had, and looking for answers. And he found the Freedom Fiends. So
right. He was you back then. Imagine if you had found the Freedom Fiends when you were his age.
I'd probably be in prison. No, I'm kidding. no, it would have changed my life. You know, something that changed my life in Church Farm School was when that chick, Dolly Freed, who wrote that book, Possum Living, came and spoke at my school. I found a copy of it, bought it, and read it in one sitting. It's basically a book on how to live off the grid. And I like it compared to a lot of survival type books because there's no political agenda. There's no, we're all going to die. There's no,
it's just a how to.
Yeah. You know, there's no, you need to have a 50 cal rifle. She's not anti-gun. She says in it lovingly, like every adult male I know has a gun and they should. I don't know that she has guns or not, but I saw a video of her with her dad hunting turtles and she's standing there with her dad. She pulls a turtle out in a net and then he shoots it. So, but she came and spoke at my school. She was a few years older than me. She was one of my best friend's older sisters. And I'm actually in touch with him again. He's a cool guy. I've been chatting with him. It really was important to me in two ways. One was it was the first, you know, I went and talked to her afterwards and shook her hand and thanked her and asked her some questions. Like, I was one of the only people who did. A lot of people at the school were really grossed out by it. You know, she was talking about like going through dumpsters and like, you know, growing rabbits in your basement, skinning them by hand with a buck knife and like, people freaked out about it. And me and her brother and like three other people went and talked to her afterwards. It was the first published author I'd ever met. And I always wanted to be an author. And she was like, yeah, it's possible. You know, I did it. And that really, and she wrote nonfiction. She wrote how to, which I wanted to do. I didn't want to write novels. And so she was important to me in that way. But it was also important because she said, you know, my father quit his job. I quit school and we live well on $900 a year. You don't have to have a job to have a good life. And I'd never heard anything like that my whole life. I think that the school never would have booked her a second time. I think they were just like, oh, she she's a published author and she was on the Merv Griffin show. We should have her at the school. We could get her cheap or free, you know. But it was subversive to me.
Right. Well, that's the key. That's the key is letting kids know that they can do something other than follow the normal status quo route. And me and my wife talk about all that time. When we were growing up, you know, that's all we were told is, you know, go to college, get a corporate job with a good company and, you know, save up some money, buy a house, stay in the same place and make your kids do the same thing. That's all it was. It was you can be a lawyer, a doctor, or a teacher. It was never follow your passions, and it was always your work should be your life, not your work should be a way you pay for your life. And the life is the important part.
You know, she did this for a while and then went to college after not going to high school, went to college and then became, you know, a rocket scientist, literally working at NASA.
Yeah.
And then later quit NASA because she was really disgusted with how they handled the space shuttle blowing up. She was like, the space shuttle blew up. They did a quick investigation. They knew that afternoon it was the O-rings freezing and being poorly designed. But they didn't tell the country for like a week because Reagan wanted to give a big speech that night and like blame it on something other than the government.
Right. Of course.
And that's why she quit. She quit being a rocket scientist because of the cover-up over the space shuttle blowing up.
Yep. Yeah. You know, that is really the key, again, is educating the kids in a different way than the schools do. It's educating the kids to do what they want to do, to be themselves and worry about life that way instead of following a certain path that's already shown for us by the government or by the public schools. That's how we get a good society, is from the kids. And it's to teach them that using government violence to get everything you want is not the way to do it.
Every freedom fiend listening to this should go out and educate some kids about the basic principles of liberty this week. That's your homework assignment before it's illegal.
Yeah. And I think kids get it before they're brainwashed. Kids get it until it's beaten out of them.
I have another homework assignment too, which is weird to give. I have a suggestion for the next podcast. Go on YouTube and watch either of the versions of the movie Brave New World. Both of them are up there in their entirety. The one from 1980 that's like 3 hours long, and the more slick Hollywood one from 1998. Watch them because we're going to discuss them probably for the whole cast next week.
Yes, so that'll be your assignment, so yep. You'll know what we're talking about.
I don't feel bad giving out assignments because it's voluntary. It's we're teaching. We're passing on information. I mean, we learn from our listeners too, but I like the idea of starting to give maybe occasional like suggestions. I'll call it homework. It's easier to say. Of like, something to check out before the next cast. Because we talk about all these movies and books and everything, like, people just have to take our word for
it,
you know? And they often have to take my word for it and not yours because I have more time on my hands. Yeah. But you're going to watch one of those, right?
One of the Brave New Worlds, yeah. Yeah, and I could probably convince my wife to watch that because she's also read the book and loves it. And we're both big fans of dystopian fiction.
I am too. It's all I ever liked as a kid in stories. I mean, I've always loved it.
Like listening to the Freedom Fiends but want them to listen to you? Contact the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
So speaking of Brave New World, there's a rumor that there is yet another remake in the works, and I think there can't be too many versions of this. And yeah. This is one I'd probably actually go see in a theater. I don't go to theaters much, but it's one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite directors, and a great actor. It's directed by Ridley Scott.
Familiar. What else has he done? I probably have seen it.
One of the darkest dystopian movies ever. It's the one where it rains all the time and everyone's Chinese.
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Blade Runner.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I think he also directed that Apple commercial, the one that was only shown once 20 years ago
or
something.
The 1984 type one where everybody's sitting there like drones watching a video and the girl comes in and smashes it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. He directed that. Blade Runner feels about as cheery as that commercial. So,
okay.
For like 3 hours. So, but it's going to star Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's one of your favorite actors?
No. I said one of my favorite directors and a really good actor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, despite being a fluffy pretty boy, he's a really good actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he is. There's a couple pretty boy actors that are amazing. He's one. Robert Downey Jr. is even more amazing. I mean, he is just, if he doesn't win an Academy Award someday, there's something wrong with the world.
Well, there is lots of things wrong with the world, Michael.
Yes, and with the Academy. But speaking of, here's another little, the children are our future, and they hate the government. Did you see the film The Police?
The YouTube video? The music video? Yeah. It was awesome.
It's a redo with different lyrics of The Police by N.W.A.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I wouldn't even call it a redo. I would just say it references The Police.
It's the same song. But it's not just rapping over an instrumental version of it. They completely reconstructed the music.
Right,
I think they went and found the same things that NWA sampled and sampled them and then played bass on some of it. And
no, they did. They completely reconstructed the beat. They sampled the same records. But yeah, they completely remade the beat. And it's completely different lyrics. In my opinion, that makes it a different song. Not a redo. But obviously, it's the same. It's the concept of the police are not your friends. They're not here to serve and protect.
And it's telling you to film them, which is great.
Yeah.
And there's some really funny stuff in it. I really like the "they'll sprinkle crack on you," which is a line, you know, reference to Dave Chappelle.
Right. And I'll rip the DARE stickers off your car.
I love that. Yeah. And I love that they were calling citizens filming the police the real neighborhood watch.
Because they are, yeah. And I love the imagery of point, click, and shoot the cops.
Yeah. I like the line, "I won't be a Law and Order special victim like Ice-T."
Which is a really good point, because, yeah, Ice-T had a song called Cop Killer at one point. You know, obviously, you can glean what the song was about then, but now he's in Status Victims Unit, as Michael likes to call it.
He plays a really f***ing sellout, like, really statist cop. There's a couple cops on that show who are like, one of them's a conspiracy theorist who thinks drugs should be legal.
Really?
Really funny. Yeah, Munch?
Huh.
Totally.
His name's Munch?
Yeah. The tall, skinny, older Jewish guy with black hair who's got a really pockmarked face.
I don't think I've ever watched the show. I might have seen a scene or two with Ice-T in it and been like, what the f*** is Ice-T doing in this?
I know. But yeah, Ice-T is like the most statist cop in there. Munch is the least statist cop. And then everybody else is kind of the normal good guy cops doing their jobs. But yeah, he's the worst. He's really like, drug dealers should be killed. Kind of, you know, like really.
He's like Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, as a cop.
Or Gene Simmons.
Actually, his character in it is a Republican, too. He's like, at one point, he's like, yeah, well, I don't really like to tell anybody, but yeah, I'm a Republican.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, you know, that song, Cop Killer, and he immediately backpedaled on it, too. Like, he said, well, no, I'm not saying I believe in that. It's like, you know, I'm just telling stories, and I'm playing a character who's a cop killer in that story. You know, he's part of the reason I got kicked off of Warner Brothers. It's kind of funny.
How's that?
Well, one of the reasons is because our drummer wanted to put a swastika under the parental advisory sticker, calling it Nazi. And, you know, somebody from high up in the company came down from their ivory tower and was walking through the art department and saw the mock-up of it. You know, it was someone whose parents were killed in Auschwitz. And he said, who is Bob and why are they on our label? That's what I heard.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
But it was also because our record came out weeks after Cop Killer dropped, which was also on Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers was getting death threats because they had a song called Cop Killer.
From who? The cops?
From who knows? Anonymous death threats from statists.
Yeah.
Maybe cops, maybe not. Which is funny because I've seen a lot of pictures of Ice-T posing with cops. A lot of cops wanted their picture taken with him, smiling with their arm around him after that.
Uh-huh.
And in New Jack City, he plays a cop. That's how he got cast, I think, in Law & Order.
I see.
You ever seen New Jack City?
No, I'm glad.
Good movie. It's of the genre my friend calls of the black movie urban hood drama. My friend made up a really apt title for that genre. He calls it the three friends. One friend dies, one friend goes to jail, and one friend changes his ways movie.
Yep, that's about it.
But I digress. Anyway, so Warner Brothers was getting death threats because of this Cop Killer song. And, you know, 2 weeks later, the Bomb record came out and they got a bomb threat like the day our record came out.
Yikes.
It was a bad time to be named Bomb.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know? They got a bomb threat and like someone said, there's a box on this entrance. There's a bomb on the back door, like the bomb squad. It was a box full of newspapers, but, you know.
Right.
It's like somebody went and put a box there and said it was a bomb.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Film the Police.
Film the Police.
They also shoot a TV in their video, which we did in our video. I always like shooting TVs.
Yeah, we shot ours with a 50 cal, though, and it was a lot more effective.
Yeah.
I think they shot theirs with a handgun or something.
Yeah.
Which is not as cool as you'd think, shooting a TV with a small caliber weapon.
It just puts a hole in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird, though. I mean, they do that at the end of the video, and through the whole video, they're showing bits of their video on TV, which I've seen in other rap videos. I mean, I think she watched Channel Zero. You know that one?
Uh-uh.
You don't know she watched Channel Zero.
No.
I love how I turn you on to rap just because it's old stuff. It's, who's the band that did Fight the Power?
Chuck D.
And Chuck D's old band. What is it?
Public Enemy.
Yeah. Public Enemy had a song called She Watched Channel Zero, which is about like being brainwashed by TV. Nice. I think they shoot a TV, or they have the thing of like the TV traveling through the hood and showing parts of the video on it.
I've heard inklings that Chuck D might be coming over to the good side as far as anarcho-capitalism.
Ron Paul?
I don't know if it was necessarily Ron Paul, but there was a post on Lou Rockwell. I didn't go listen to it, but somebody had posted some of his new lyrics that he had on a mixtape with Immortal Technique, who's another really good rapper who sort of takes down the system. Unfortunately, Immortal Technique is more of a, I guess, social democrat. He hates the state, but he wants to replace it with a different type of state. But Chuck D apparently has a verse on that mixtape where he is a little bit more anarcho-capitalist. I haven't listened to it yet, so this is secondhand information.
Well, Chuck D is really, really, really f***ing smart. He has been like, well, we need the government guns to help us get social justice. I've heard that kind of shit from him.
He's evolving, hopefully in the way that we did, and we are.
Well, you know my saying, smart Democrats become Republicans, smart Republicans become libertarians, smart libertarians become minarchists, and smart minarchists become anarchists.
That is about the way it rolls. But I actually saw Chuck D. He gave a lecture at the school I went to in college, University of Texas, and I went to see it. And it was great, and his whole thing was, fuck the government, you better get yourself a passport, because when the hits the fan, you're going to want to get the fuck out of here.
Well, but where are you going to go? That's not really ANCAP. That's just things are bad.
Things are bad. Yeah, but at least he recognized that. And I think he still does recognize that. You know, if he didn't, if he was drinking the Kool-Aid, he would have come out in favor of Obama at some point, which he never did.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are really disappointed with Obama, which is a lot of them want to vote for Ron Paul, which is kind of funny.
Which I hope they do.
Yeah. You know, even though we don't vote, I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote two more times in my life. I'm going to vote for Ron Paul in the primary. I'm going to vote for Ron Paul for president, whether he's on the ballot or not, and then I'm probably never going to vote again. And I'm really just voting for him to be counted in the popularity contest, not because I believe in voting.
No, I am too. And I always say that one of the reasons I do hope he wins is just because I think it'll be a good it'll show everybody that, hey, people actually want freedom. It's not just a bunch of wingnuts and crackpots who think that there should not be violence perpetrated against us by the state. It's actually a sentiment that's well-received among people. People don't want to be forced into doing shit.
I have a prediction. I think that Wyoming is going to have the highest per capita votes for Ron Paul in the primary.
Why do you think that?
I would have thought it before I knew this fact, but one fact that reinforces it is the fact that Wyoming gave the highest per capita donations this year to Ron Paul.
Ah, okay, okay. I read a really great article that California is sort of one of the reasons that Ron Paul is completely electable. And it's something that nobody in the mainstream media has mentioned, is that Ron Paul, as far as Republicans go, is totally going to lead the pack in California. And California is the most populous state. If he can win California and Texas, he's pretty much got the thing sold up.
His district in Texas is pretty square, man. It's like the big space between Galveston and Houston.
Yeah, it's huge. But the thing about Texas is they respect people who keep their word. You know, as status as Texas can be, they know that Ron Paul does what he says and means what he says. They respect that.
Word.
So, you know, if Ron Paul can pull off this Iowa upset, do well in New Hampshire, and then sew up Texas and California, that's pretty much his main goal. That's what he has to do. He can totally win the nod from the Republicans, no matter what, you know, the people on Fox News say.
You know, I got another great, the children are our future and they hate the government. Did you see that video of the guys from Cop Block handing out Cop Block literature on a sidewalk in front of a public school when it was letting out?
What, were the kids totally receptive?
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was the vice principal went and yelled at him, and then he went and got the principal and the groundskeeper, some
groundskeeper
bureaucrat.
Willie.
Someone recently asked me, how do bureaucrats and fed goons sleep at night? And I said, they sleep really well because statism is the opiate of the people.
Ugh, yeah, they do. They sleep really well on a pile of your money.
Yeah, that's from McBain from The Simpsons. How do you sleep at night? on a pile of money with many beautiful women. It's a guy playing Schwarzenegger, basically.
Right, right, right.
Did you see Ron Paul on with Joe Rogan on...
Yes, on Jay Leno. Yeah.
I liked his joke. Ron Paul's a gynecologist. He's delivered 4,000 babies. He's seen more women naked than Newt Gingrich and...
Herman Cain combined. Qualified it, though. Leno said almost as many women naked as Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain combined.
I'll bet Ron Paul thought that was really crass.
Yeah, he did. He did.
It's pretty funny, man.
Yeah. And then Joe Rogan, of course, came out sporting the Ron Paul sweatshirt and said, and Jay Leno was like, well, what do you like about the guy? And Joe Rogan goes, everything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. And then Joe said to Ron Paul, I'm on Fear Factor. Have you ever seen Fear Factor? And he said, no. And Joe Rogan said, well, I'm part of the problem and you're the solution.
Right, right. And Joe Rogan, obviously, a very good libertarian comedian.
I've always liked him since News Radio, man.
Him and Doug Stanhope have a thing down in Austin called Sacred Cow Productions, where they...
That's a good combination. No, in a great way. Oh. I'm like getting wet from that, man. I love Doug Stanhope. Doug Stanhope, those two are like the most libertarian comedians out there. I think a lot of comedians really lean libertarian. I mean, a lot of them still have a liberal problem.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Another one I really like is, I saw a movie by him I tried to tell you about.
You Googling right now?
Yeah. Werewolves and Lollipops. That's the name of his... DVD I just saw.
Nice.
Patton Oswalt. I love that guy.
I might have seen him on Comedy Central before, but...
He was actually on Sub Pop. He did a comedy record on Sub Pop.
Oh, that's dope.
That's how hip he is. He's great.
Yeah, yeah. I think kids, like in that Cop Block thing, I think kids do have a natural inclination to think of the state as ridiculous.
Well, it was pretty funny because it was like... I think it was in New Hampshire or Massachusetts or probably New Hampshire, but it was Ian from Free Talk Live. It was Pete Ayer. And it was Adamo. You know, Pete and Adamo are like physical gods, you know. They're both like 30 years old, about there in the peak of their life. They're like, they're weightlifters. I think they might be vegan. I don't know. They're just totally in shape. I mean, they're like pinup boy, cute, macho voluntarists that carry guns. I mean, how cool is that? They weren't carrying guns on this because it was, you know, and they went with a pack of like 8 people. There were like 3 people filming and 5 people handing stuff out. The students were very approving of them. It was like teenage girls walking by looking at this hot dude yelling at their principal, you know?
Right, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Of course they're going to like
what's
that.
What's better than that? Yeah, it's almost as good as them yelling at your dad.
Yeah. Hey, you can come over and yell at my dad when you're done yelling at my principal.
Then a similar group from that circle, back when they did the Lemonade Freedom Day on the Washington Capitol, they basically went and sold lemonade on the Capitol grounds, and the cops harassed them. And there was a little girl who was going to, you know, spend her dime on lemonade, and the cop was like, don't buy that, they're not supposed to be here. And she looked at the cop with that little girl scoff, you know, that little girl scoff that they give an annoying little brother or one of dad's drunk friends. And she just bought it anyway. She was just like, oh my God, what the hell is this douchebag doing?
And what does that prove? That proves the children are our future and they hate the government.
The government is like,
you're trying to stop me from buying lemonade, mister. What's wrong with you, mister? Yeah. Speaking of DC and Square, DC police claim that knowing one's rights is justification for a search warrant in Raid. They got a warrant in DC to search a head shop because they sold a book called, like, Know Your Rights When Dealing with the Police.
Wow.
That was their probable cause.
Wow. It is so far gone. The state is so far gone. And that's why you said earlier, I'll maybe vote 2 more times. And both of those will be for Ron Paul. Because you and I both realize that there's no fixing it at this point. They're way past the point of not
I think turn. They're just trying to get us used to the tyranny so when they sell us to China, we'll be fine with it. You know that thing called First They Came? That thing that's attributed to Pastor Nimmler from...
Right. First they came for the communists, and I didn't speak because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade.
Yeah, I heard a good update recently by some guy named Lyle Mayer, I think, M-Y-H-R. He said, when they took the Fourth Amendment, I was quiet because I don't deal drugs. When they took the Sixth Amendment, I was quiet because I am innocent. When they took the Second Amendment, I was quiet because I don't own a gun. Now they've taken the First Amendment, and all I can do is be quiet.
Nice.
That's like... almost want to cry reading that.
It's powerful. Unfortunately, though, it does almost give us the inkling that we get those rights because they grant them to us. You know, they grant them to us so they could take it away by just erasing a piece of paper.
I could still stand by that statement of just like when they took my right to this,
right.
When they, you know, the natural right to this, natural right to that.
Yeah.
I stand by it. You know, we have a weird mixture here of like, I mean, we're anarchists. And when we started this podcast in April, you were already an anarchist and I was a minarchist. Or maybe even a was I still involved in politics? I don't think so. But I still thought politics could fix things.
Yeah. And then you grew up, in the words of Chris Matthews.
In the words of Chris Matthews, except I went the opposite way he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we advise you all to grow up as well.
We still talk about constitutional issues in minarchy. I like to, because it's living in the real world. It is growing up. It's like, if all we talked about was LibPair, we'd kind of be living in a fantasy world, because it's not there yet. And we have to deal with the real world and laws every time we walk out the door.
Well, and it's a language that people know.
Yeah.
When you talk about rights, people can get that. I think Paul Bonneau had a nice post about how, you know, there's really no such thing as rights because that's implying that you have something given to you. And that's very true, that, you know, the government doesn't give you the ability or your freedom. But at the same time, we have to speak in language that people understand. And people grow up hearing about rights. And when you say the word rights, they understand what it means. And to me, it reminds me of how gun enthusiasts, they'll disregard somebody if they call a magazine a clip. But at the same time, that's what people call it. Language has evolved to that. So because people use the word rights, we can use that and they'll know what we mean.
Yeah. And we don't want to just preach to the choir. We want to indoctrinate people. We're here to...
We want to educate people, not...
No, we're here to warp your mind, man. It's beyond education. We're here to taint you into the dark side of libertarianism. But there's a continuum. People do different stuff. You know, you can start out a statist. You can listen to Free Talk Live and they'll turn you into a minarchist. And then we'll take over from there and turn you into an anarchist.
Yeah, ideally.
You could still listen to them too, but...
Right. Ian is pretty firmly an anarchist and he is definitely the one there who will say, I don't believe in voting anymore. And
Mark's not, though. Mark's a delegate.
Mark is. Mark is still a minarchist, and that's where they get sort of their balance and some of their conflict that goes on.
I like it, though. It works for them, and it worked for us for a while, because it's good to have a show where the hosts don't both believe the same thing entirely, so they can have a little bit of back and forth and arguing.
You know, yeah.
Because conflict is the essence of drama.
Exactly.
The thing that really nailed it for me, I'll say this, and then I have one more item.
And then we'll wrap it up, B.
Yep. The thing that really did it for me was my friend Mike DeLuna, who's been my friend for like 15 or 20 years. We played in a band together. He was my friend and band member in San Francisco, and then he was my downstairs neighbor in the same building in L.A. He was leaning libertarian when I was a Democrat statist, and he used to talk to me about it, and it didn't kind of really get through until I bought a gun and realized I was a criminal or almost a criminal just by being a peaceful gun
owner. By owning an inanimate piece of metal.
Yep. So he and you took me from minarchist to anarchist, but really, like, the thing that killed the last bit of minarchy in me was something he said to me a few months ago. He said, you can't say you believe in the non-aggression principle and say you're a minarchist. It's like saying, I believe in the Ten Commandments, but every 5 or 6 years I go out and kill a guy.
No, that's a really good point, because up until then, it's just a matter of degrees. It's how much government force will you allow. And if you're a minarchist, you're saying, well, I'll allow the government to steal my money as long as they're building roads with it, or as long as they're raising an army to defend us. Then it's okay if they steal my money. So that's just a matter of degrees. And then it is an infinitely slippery slope, because then it's just a matter of what you think it's appropriate for the government to spend stolen money on. Oh, well, if it's okay for them to build roads, yeah, it's also reasonable for them to provide public education to everybody. And it's also reasonable for them to give little old ladies money to buy food. That's all reasonable. Once you make that leap from it's reasonable for the government to steal your money for one thing, then you've made that leap. You've already said it's okay for them to steal your money. If you draw a line in the sand and say, hey, it's wrong for you to use force to take away my property, then that's where it ends. It doesn't go any further than that. That's where the period is on the sentence.
Yep.
And now, the Nima News with Nima Vidati.
And now, for your daily dose of nanny statism in our daily segment, Tyranny Today.
Tyranny Today.
So the last item is a news piece that I'm only bringing up. You know, there's so many pieces of tyranny we can't keep up, but this one is interesting to me because a law is being passed with a deadline, or it has been passed and there's a deadline, that something that 4 or 5 years ago, even before I had a gun, I was kind of starting to lean libertarian, basically because I married a woman who kind of leaned libertarian. And this was the first blog post I ever did bitching about the government was about this thing. I don't even have that blog up anymore, but the headline is TV companies have a year to pipe down loud ads. I hate loud ads. I mute them, though.
Yeah.
But some congresswoman hates loud ads so much that she got a law passed against loud ads.
Because we can't solve any problems unless we make laws. We just need more laws, and that'll fix everything. It's completely ridiculous because, A, you can mute the fucking ads, like you said. And B, I mean, what's to stop you from putting a compressor on your TV that keeps the level the exact same it should be, or how you want it to be?
I don't know, but I want to mute my cat. Did you hear Fuzzy yelling a minute ago?
No, what was he yelling for, some goo food?
I don't know what he wanted, man. It's weird. But yeah, so TV people are going to have to make the ads the same volume as the shows now.
Another good point to bring up there is usually there are these annoying things that you get when you get free stuff. They're there for a reason. They're there because you're getting the free stuff. If you're watching TV and you're not having to pay a fee to pay those expensive-ass announcers on TV or the actors that get paid $1 million an episode, the reason you don't have to pay a fee to watch that show is because there's ads. And those advertisers want their ads to be a little bit louder to grab your attention. So you're getting something in return for that.
I know. And this lady wants to cheat them out of that. I was really disgusted by the comments on this. It was on Yahoo. 2/3 of the people were saying, like, yeah, this is great. I've been wanting this forever. And I'm like, really, you need a fucking gun in someone else's hand to protect you from loud ads? And, you know, a third were people being sensible and saying, like, this is ridiculous. And what I say is, when they can control the volume of the TV, they can control what's on it. It's only a step away from that.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Not only that, but you know, the people just also don't get that where these enforcement come from. It's not like it just magically appears and there's these volunteers that'll volunteer to make sure that these rules are enforced. No.
They'll take your business away. Yes. They'll destroy your family. They'll take everything you own with a gun.
Yeah, and the people who are doing the taking and the way the gun is bought is from taxpayer money. So you're going to have to pay for this bureaucracy to do that. Wouldn't you rather? Isn't it easier for you? Isn't it less work to just press mute or just pipe down or just stop watching TV and watch Hulu or fast forward through the ads? Everybody has a TiVo these days. That's so much easier than having to pay more taxes to pay some bureaucrats to do your work for you.
Word. And with that, I think we'll sign off and let Freedom Fiends be quiet for a week or until the in-between episode comes up.
Very good. All right, Michael, anything else?
No, man. Good cast. Worms.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Hello, I'm Michael Dean.
And I'm Nima Vidati.
This educational documentary will undoubtedly upset some people who get a boner from preying on the rights of others.
Therefore, we'd like to say this on record. If either of us are ever facing any felony charges, the thing was planted or the evidence otherwise manufactured.
And if either of us is ever found dead of a drug overdose, a car crash, or an apparent suicide, there was probably a government agency behind it.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every Friday night, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vidati weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by alterati.com, the Micro Effect Radio Network at themicroeffect.com, and the Liberty Radio Network at lrn.fm.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.